Psalms. Oh, you got the microphone on, right? Okay, good. All right, take our Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is where we're going to start this morning. Psalm 22. What did I do with my water? I left my water over here. Well, pardon me about that. But Psalm 22 is where we're going to start this morning. I just once again, I'm going to remind you, this week we live in the area where they place great store on Mardi Gras. And so I'm just going to remind you again to be careful. There's a lot of people going to be out liquored up and everything else. So just be careful while you're out there and be praying for one another. Psalm 22 and verse 1 says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent." By the way, this is the Psalm of the Cross, isn't it? And, you know, if you read your Bible and you believe your Bible, you'll find out that on the day that Jesus was crucified, it started out as daylight, but then turned dark, didn't it? Darkness was upon the face of the earth that time. So, that's 100% accurate. To say, well, on the cross, Jesus cried out both in the daytime and in the night season. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each person that's listening, whether here in the church house with us or online with the live stream or maybe after. But Father, I just pray you'd help us to be a blessing today and help me to preach the truth clearly. And Father, I just pray that your Spirit would work in every heart. Lord, we need you to do what we cannot do, and that's speak to the hearts of the people. Father, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation. If there's one that's backslid, we pray that they would humble themselves and return to you. Lord, if there's somebody that's believing a false doctrine, we pray that their eyes would be open. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to call your attention primarily to the last verse of this psalm. This psalm is a wonderful psalm. You could go through and look at this psalm and look at Christ on the cross, and you could look at the life of Jesus Christ, and you'll see clear instances where this psalm is fulfilled to the letter. And everybody likes to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. They like to talk about a lot of different things. It's no secret that many people are very religious and they'll talk a lot about Jesus. But, you know, the sad thing is we get to a point in our culture today where religion is taking hold again, and people's religion, they have what I would call water pot religion. You know, they're kind of like the woman at the well. They when she first met Jesus, she accused him of being a bigot, and then she began to, when her own bigotry was exposed, she began to try to change the subject and try to get real religious, and she talked about how her father's worshiping this mountain and Jacob gave him the well and all this type of stuff like that. And you know, she was an adulteress many times over. She was a bigoted woman. She was a religious woman, a self-righteous woman. And it wasn't until she truly understood who Jesus was, when she believed on him, then she left all that behind. You know, she left her water pot. She didn't just leave the pot of water, but she left the rest of that behind. She went and told everybody, "Come see a man which told me all things, whichever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And she had a lot of different things that she was hanging her hat on for salvation. She thought that she was better than somebody else, and she's better than the Jews. She wasn't a bigot like all the Jews. She was good. And she couldn't understand why this Jew was talking to her, because after all, the Jews were bigots. Right? Sound familiar today? Nothing new under the sun, is there? But the reality and the truth about it is she had a religion, and many people have a religion today. But you know, the one thing about this, it says in Psalm 22 in verse 29, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. There is nobody that can keep their own soul alive. There is nothing you or I could ever do. There's no amount of religion or whatever you want to term it. There's no amount of good works. There's no amount of breeding or background or suffering or anything else that can keep your soul alive. And when Jesus was crying out on Calvary's cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was crying out in our stead. We are the ones that God should have abandoned. But Jesus bore that for us, didn't he? And notice it said, the seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. In other words, it's going to be declared that God is the one that wrought salvation, that Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for our sins, who rose from the dead, that he is the only way of salvation. And sometimes it behooves us to just go back to the basics. And that's what we're going to do this morning, Lord willing. We're just going to go back to the very basics of it all. And we're just going to declare that only Jesus can save your soul. Amen. Only Jesus atoned for your sins. Only Jesus is the Savior. A lot of times I will talk about different doctrines and things that people teach. I was reading an article about this fellow who was trying to make the idea that and come up with the idea that somehow Mary is the mediatrix of all graces, which is a lie. The Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Catholic doctrine has long taught that Mary is a co-redemptrix. In other words, she had a part in our salvation, and that's a lie too. And a lot of times when I talk about this, and that's just one doctrine of many, there are all types of people. You can try to plug somebody else in there to have a part of your salvation or whatever the case may be. Or you can put some other doctrine in there to say that this is part of your salvation or something like that. Well, it doesn't matter if it's a person or a thing or a work or an effort or whatever it is. But when you get to this passage of Psalm 22, and it's clearly describing Christ at the cross, the thing that comes out of this is that he hath done this. And as Jesus said on Calvary's cross, it is finished. It was finished on Calvary's cross. The work of salvation was finished. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Didn't Jesus have to rise from the dead in order for us to be saved? Absolutely it is. Resurrection is part of the gospel. But what God is telling us prophetically in that, what Jesus said when it's finished, he said, it's done. I've borne the sins of the world. And his resurrection was certain it was going to happen. Because he said about himself, he said about his life, he said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And when he laid down his life for our sins, it was 100% certain that he would rise from the dead. There was never any doubt. That's why Jesus on Calvary's cross could say, it's finished, it's done. Because the work was the that which was necessary. And it's His shed blood that washes away sin. Holy water doesn't wash it away. No ceremony will wash it away. Baptism won't wash it away. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away sins. That makes it clear. And I don't know where you, what you think about your salvation, but if you sit here in church and you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm a good church member, I believe the right doctrines. Well, believing them with your head is different than trusting Christ. Thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also and tremble. But the Bible tells us that the lake of fire, when Jesus says, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, that hell was originally prepared for Satan. And man's sin made that our destination too, didn't it? The devils all know that they're bound for hell. They may delude themselves in some way, but whenever they ran up against Jesus, the truth came out, didn't it? Art thou come to torment us before the time? They knew there was a time coming. And every one of us, we know there's a time coming. And if you're not saved, if your faith and trust is not in Christ, your home is going to be the lake of fire. And I don't care how religious you are. I don't care. Because we look at the psalm and it says, He hath done this. They'll come and declare, and I'm declaring His righteousness today. And it was declared to me that He hath done this. Christ paid the penalty for our sins. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He did it by Himself. There is no co-redeemer, co-redemptrix. There's no co-anybody. Jesus purged our sins by Himself. It's His shed blood. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, For there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's what we're doing today. We're testifying that He gave Himself a ransom for all. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I could spend the next hour or two or three going through scriptures in the Bible that clearly show, such as Psalm 22, that clearly show that the only Savior there is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Not in anybody else's blood, His own blood. Not by anybody else's sufferings, by his sufferings. Anybody else that suffered deserves to suffer. Did you know that? You say, oh, I don't know why God allows me to suffer. I don't know why he gives us any relief. We deserve to suffer. And most of all, we deserve to suffer in hell for all eternity, separated from God in that lake of fire. That's what we deserve. But this psalm has Jesus bearing our sins in his own body, was on the tree, and paying that penalty in full. And you ought to be happy about it. You ought to be excited about it. You ought never get so pious and self-righteous where you're thinking somehow your works are what justifies you before God. See, I don't ever have to worry about justifying myself before God. I just go and try to do the best I can to live God, live right and honor God. But I never think that, well, what I'm doing, that's why I'm going to heaven. If I ever thought that way, I'd be lost. Lost people think that way. Not saved folks. And so if you're religious and you think, well, I'm going to heaven because I've been in church all my life. All right, sorry you won't be there.
Right.
You won't be in heaven, you'll be in hell. I don't care who you are. I don't care how religious you are. I mean, we talked about the woman in the well. We talked a minute ago about Mardi Gras. You got a bunch of people that are going to go out, and the Bible clearly says drunkenness is a sin, doesn't it? And there are going to be people that are going to go out and they're going to be drunk, and then they're going to get up Wednesday morning. They're going to walk into a church with their hangover and put a little ash on their head. Until next year, right? It's one thing about religion. You can have all religion, like we just talked about the woman of the well. Her religion didn't stop her from being a bigot. And we have people that name the name of Christ whose religion doesn't stop them from being bigots. Isn't that true? It's 100% true. I think you need something more than just a religion. I think you need more than a denomination. I think you need more than a church house. In fact, I know you do. The only one that can save your soul is Jesus. You can't keep your soul alive. You can't redeem your own soul. You can't do anything to merit God's salvation. There's no way that you can do anything or I can do anything. You look at the world, and the world looks at, and the devil uses it really good, and he tries to get the world to think that, well, all those people in church, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, of course we are. Sinners saved by the grace of God. Our redemption is not yet complete. The Bible talks about God disciplining his own children. You look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3 where he's rebuking churches. You look at 1 and 2 Corinthians where he's rebuking churches. For what? Sin. But we're not preaching that come join our church so you can go to heaven. Because we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We preach Christ and him crucified. That's all we know. That's all we care about in the sense of when it comes to whether I'm going to go to heaven or not, whether I'm going to make it. It's all been accomplished by Jesus Christ. It's all been accomplished. His blood was shed, and through faith in his blood, he's a propitiation for our sins. He's a full payment for our sins. He proved that it's done because he rose from the dead. That's the proof. So that nobody can deny it, and yet you still have people running around, and the devil wants people to look at a church and say, oh, well, those people aren't perfect, so they're a bunch of hypocrites. Why? So that they can, it's self-justification. I'm as good as they are. I've had people say to me, preacher, I'm just as good as you are. And I said, that's exactly what your problem is. You're no better than I am. That's why you need a Savior. That's why Jesus died. That's why the Jews were looking for a Messiah. Problem is, the Jews thought the Messiah was just for them, not for everybody. And they're still looking for the Messiah, and He's already come. And when He comes in glory the second time, then they'll recognize Him. And thank God, by the mercy of God, the nation of Israel in that day that have not worshipped the beast or taken his mark, the remnant of Jews that day will be saved because they'll look upon Him whom they have pierced, and they'll mourn for Him as one mourneth for his only son. And God's grace and mercy is so wonderful that He made promise to the nation of Israel, and He's going to fulfill every promise. Just like He's going to fulfill every promise He made to you and me. And just like He's going to fulfill every promise He made to those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe in God. Okay, the devil believes in God. Matter of fact, he knows, he's seen God. Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. You've never seen God. Brother Philip said to Jesus in John chapter 14, he said, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus told him, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? In other words, Jesus is our picture of God because we've never seen Him face to face. The devil has seen Him face to face. You haven't. I haven't. But we see Jesus. Amen. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Everyone. Preacher, I know this. Why aren't you telling people about it then? If you're here today and you're not saved, you're saying, well, I'm as good as everybody else. Sure you are. That's your trouble. You're as good as everybody else. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. Well, you might think that. But you're still a sinner, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, I went and confessed my sins to the priest. Well, that's good. The Bible says confess your faults one another, but if you think that atones for your sins, you're living a lie. And you're going to die and go to hell. Because there's no priest, no earthly priest, that died for your sins, that shed his blood for your sins. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. I can't atone for your sins. I can't atone for my sins. How's somebody going to atone for your sins when you can't even atone for your own? And they can't atone for your own. How are they going to do that? You ever wonder why the Bible says when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, said in the book of Romans, shall be saved. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Everything around that is all focused on who? Jesus.
Right.
Not Mary, not Joseph, not Paul, not Peter, not Daniel, not Moses, not David,
right.
Jesus. Only Jesus can save your soul. And you can't replace him with a religion. You can't just give him lip service. You have to repent and believe the gospel. And the gospel is very clear. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And that gospel has to be personal. He died for my sins. He bore my sins. He paid the penalty for my sins. And not just in a general way of saying, I know that. By the way, the devil knows that Jesus died for the sins of the world. He knows who Jesus is. He didn't have any qualms or anything like that. He knows it. He don't like it, but he knows it. Scripture tells us that about the gospel and the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If Satan had understood what he was doing by invoking Judas to betray Jesus and stirring up the mob to say, crucify him, he'd have never done it. He said, I'm just going to leave him alone. But he didn't. He tried to tempt him, didn't he? That just shows the glory of God, that the devil himself couldn't stop salvation. And all the people the devil sinned against Jesus, ended up ushering him right to where he needed to be, to where he could die on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for our sins to make atonement for the sins of the world. And then he rose from the dead. Now he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, because he's already purged our sins. It's done. Now the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And my question to you is real simple, is have you received the gift? Or you just got religion. You might have a religion that knows about the gift, but knowing about a gift is not the same as receiving a gift.
That's right.
That's why in John chapter 1 it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, that trust him. Only Jesus. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people which shall be born, that he hath done this. You'll never get saved until you believe that Jesus is the only Savior.
Amen.
And then you make that personal by you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to get down to basics, because we've got a heap of religious people in this world today, in the United States of America, in South Mississippi. We've got a lot of religious people that are not born again. Because somehow, some way, they believed a lie and they're trusting in themselves that they're righteous. And you can't save your soul. None can keep alive his own soul. And they're going to come and declare to his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. If you turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 3, and this is where we'll close out today. Romans chapter 3. Notice he said that he would declare his righteousness. Let me get there very quickly. And it says this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that which believeth in Jesus." That God is just, He's declaring His righteousness, that He's just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. He's just because the penalty of sin has been paid. The judgment of God, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ when He was on that cross. That's why he cried out, "Oh God, oh God, why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There's a hymn that a fellow wrote called "How Deep the Father's Love." How deep the Father's love for us. It says, it talks about our sin being poured out on Jesus. How great the pain of, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, right? And it talks about that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain and searing loss. His Father turned His face away, while wounds which marred the chosen one bring many souls to glory. Behold the Lamb upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice cry out among the scoffers. It was His love that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying words have brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast of anything. No gifts, nor power, nor wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection.
Amen.
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart: His blood has paid my ransom.
Amen.
What are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Trusting in yourself? I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. I'm not like those other people. I'm not like those self-righteous folks in the church. I'm not like those Catholics. Well, if that's your what you're hanging your hat on, you're lost and going to hell. If your faith is not in the fact that Jesus shed His blood as payment for your sins, that he died for you, that he rose from the dead, and you're trusting in him and him alone, you're going to die and go to hell. You'll be with the devil in the lake of fire. Because he hath done this. He purchased salvation. There's no other way. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. This is what I believe God wanted me to preach this morning. I don't know why. I don't know who's going to hear it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I just beg you, if you're lost today, you need to trust Christ as your Savior because He's your only hope.
Amen.
He's the only one that's conquered sin and death. You can't add anything to that. It's not Jesus plus the church. It's not Jesus plus your baptism. It's not Jesus plus your priest or anybody else or your preacher or whoever it is. It's Jesus only. He's the one that did this. He's the one that paid the penalty. He's the one that rose from the dead. It's His blood that cleanses us from sin. That's the only thing that can cleanse from sin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us the way you do. Thank you for sending your Son to die on Calvary's cross. Lord, I pray there's nobody that's heard this message that just says, I know that. Lord, if this declaration of the wonderful grace of God and the love of God and the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we could be saved, if it doesn't bring joy to our hearts, there's something wrong. Lord, I pray that it's not just a bunch of people who know about it and don't know it. And I thank you in the scriptures you said that this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Lord, please, I just pray if there's one that's lost, they hear this, they would humble themselves and call on the Lord for salvation. Bless your people, we pray, Lord. Bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen.